Welcome to the Tech Flash. If you're looking to increase your EdTech knowledge that's quick and easy to listen to, you have come to the right place. Let's join our host, Josh, and see what today's episode is all about.
All right, and welcome to the Tech Flush. Man, I'm excited you're here. I'm excited you decided to pick up your phone, driving in your car, walking your dog, any of those fun things, and tuning in. So for all my standard flushers out there, thanks for tuning in. And if you're a newbie today, you're in for a real treat. We got a big time guest on the show. And so we're going to go ahead and start diving in for episode number 73. We're not going to waste any time today, but I've got a big guest here today. We've got Allie Wilson joining us today. How's it going, Allie?
Great. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited for you here too. And I know, like, it's kind of weird how we got connected. I've been doing some Facebook posts. I've been doing some things on social media, just to, not necessarily to get myself out there, but just to kind of see what's going on, share some things. Interact with people in the whole world. And we had, I don't remember if I made a post, you made a post, but somehow we got connected in the comments. And here we are today. So I'm super excited for you to be here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Yeah, I'm the opposite. I am trying to get myself out there on social media. I am not typically a social media person. Like, all my social media is private. But in being a founder of an app, I kind of have to like put myself in that uncomfortable space of like talking to people online and meeting new people and posting in Facebook groups and all the things that I typically try not to do. I'm like doing the opposite now. So yeah, that's how we got connected. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun to be out there and do those things, but you're right. It is sometimes, if that's not you or you want to be that, it's really hard to kind of make yourself vulnerable. Even though you're behind a screen and doing that, it's still kind of fun to connect with people and just kind of see what's going on in the wide world, worldwide.
Things. Yeah, I love special education and teaching, but I do not love the sales part of it. So it's like something completely new to me being like the founder of it. And sometimes too, like people be like, oh, you founded an app. And I'm like, yep. Like, it just is so bizarre to me still. It's only been about a year. And so, yeah, when I'm introducing myself as like CEO, I'm like, oops, wrong person.
Yeah, I could totally agree with you on that. And speaking of all these things, I know we're starting to talk a little bit about why we're here today, but go ahead and we know who you are, but go kind of ahead and introduce yourself, really how you fit into the educational space, and then kind of tell us what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah. So I started out as a teacher. I got my undergrad in business psychology, actually. And so I was convinced I was just going to go straight into business. I was going to, you know, use the mind to sell people things. And then I realized, like, wait, I don't actually want to do that. And so I joined Teach for America, and I felt like a whole new purpose. I felt like I finally found my calling. I started out in a charter school, which I know can be kind of taboo for some people, but I loved it. I was able to be trained on how to be a teacher. I got my master's in teaching, and I just loved it. The only thing that I felt was still missing was that my favorite group of kids was those kids who needed those extra supports. And I felt like I wanted to be with them more throughout the day. And so I started out as a gen ed teacher and moved to special education about 3 years in, and been there ever since. It really all started because I saw students that everyone thought would just like be failures. Like, they just were like, oh, that's, you know, that's our low group. And they kind of just like wrote them off. And I would get so angry about that because I don't learn easily. Like, I can pick things up quickly, but when it came to like math or learning a skill that I had to memorize was so hard for me. And it wasn't until later on that I figured out why. So focusing on students, figuring out their why, like what is the gap that's going on, I just loved it. Anyway, so got into special education. But when I was there, I realized that, hey, there's not a lot of resources in a resource setting, which is extremely ironic. And so, yeah, then I decided, you know what? I have so much time why don't I just go ahead and start an app? We got a development team together. We've been launched now for about 6 months. We have our pilot campuses going and thriving, and that has been bizarre but exciting. So that's a quick, what was that, 30 seconds on my life.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes when we're recording, and I always say this, like it's different. Like we can have a conversation and feel like we can go for, you know, it's real quick. Mm-hmm. We're doing all these things. But as soon as we hit that record button, if 30 seconds feels like an hour.
Yeah, but, so where would you like me to go back and slow down, start over?
No, I think that was great. And I think especially like when you talk about going from gen ed to special education, you know, I went to school, I got my undergrad, I got my master's in special education, and I really loved working with those students, no matter what ability it was, because you really can see some big gains with them. And not that you're looking for gains, but like when they can or able to, I don't know, read on grade level, they're able to become better at something to better their lives academically, and then to be able to be successful outside of school. I think when you see those light bulbs go on, it's just, it really justifies what you're doing and you're pouring in to these mm-hmm. kids. And, you know, you're working with all the students, but then as that special education teacher, you're responsible to make sure those goals, the hours, you're all these things that these kids are doing. And it's just, it's an incredible role. And a lot of times I feel like, you know, you're drawn to that, and it's not something that everybody can handle, because it is a hard role. There's lots of things that go into it. You really have to kind of be born or just destined to be a special education teacher, I feel like.
Yeah. Have you ever had a kid that like when people are like, I read that myself. Like when a kid is like, wait a second, I wrote that myself. Like they get so excited. And a couple years ago, it was, I think Party City was like going out of business. So I got this huge Dr. Seuss hat that said, like, I'm a reader, number one reader. And I had a lot of jocks in my class that like the football team, they were in my resource reading class. And anyway, so one of them had like never read on grade level. Well, anyway, he passed a test. And so I had him put on this hat that said number one reader. He was so excited about it. He was like, I read that myself. And so then he became like, anytime I needed a volunteer in class, he was volunteering. And I just, that is what I live for. Like the kids who are going from a 98% to a 99%, like congrats to them. It's exciting for them.
Yeah.
Not exciting for me. I'm excited about the kid who for the very first time read their name or wrote their name or on the other, I mean, I know that's like an extreme case, but I've had true situations where a student could not write a sentence. And then we get to an ARD meeting later on and their mom is like crying because their kid is now going from a kindergarten reading level to a fourth grade reading level. They might be in seventh grade, but those are still huge gains, you know? And so I just love special education. And what I really love is when a special education student has that label of SPED, but then they go to a gen ed classroom and no one knows. And then they're out like outscoring the other kids in the room. Like I love that too. I get really excited for my kids because they don't realize like how much harder they've had to work and they still are getting it. So yeah, just a lot of excitement on the SPED side.
And again, like they struggle so much. And then when they do have those wins, even if it's a high school kid and you make it goofy and they love that, that mm-hmm. really just shows that you care about them and they are making good gains. Even if they're in a 12th grader reading on a seventh grade reading level or, you know, whatever that may be, they're making those gains and they're being successful. And it's like, I had a friend share this image with me one time, and there was this girl. She had made this Lego thing, and like, I have no idea what the Lego thing is. Like, you have no idea what she built, but she's so excited that she built it and it's hers. And I feel like a lot of times with students, especially our students that struggle academically, when they can own it and they can understand that, we're skyrocketing. We're doing so many amazing things mm-hmm. with them. Now, listen, I know I feel like me and you, we could talk about successes. We could talk about students. We could talk all about these things, but I really want to start getting into what you've created. And I know I told you before the show, like, you know, we connected, we talked, and I was like, hey, let's do a podcast. It'll be awesome. But then I researched a little more and I was like, wow, like she's the one that had the mindset to do this, created this. And I know you've got coders and those type of things. I would need that because the coding part, if it wasn't for ChatGPT or Gemini, like forget it. But really this IEP assurance, this program that you've created. I think, you know, especially from the demo that you showed me, it's really phenomenal what it can do to not just support the special education teacher to help support that student, but really to help that student to continue to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I know you'll hit on this, but I know, or let's go ahead and do that now. Tell us what this program is and what it's designed to do before I start sharing my feelings about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to hear that you were like thrilled by the demo. I feel like I'm getting better at the demos every day.
Listen,
but
it was awesome. I wish that if when I was in the classroom that this would have been around, because it would have been really game changing for me as that special education teacher.
Yeah. So I said how I started out in general education. Then I moved to SPED, and there aren't a lot of resources for the SPED resource group. There's not a lot of resources for any SPED teacher, which is crazy because if you really look at the financials of like where that money's going, SPED students get money from the schools and we need those resources. And so I really started looking at like, well, what is out there? And there's a bunch of apps that are supposed to help you, but they're so like piecemeal and nothing really works. And so I set out to create something that was going to be like a one-stop shop for the IEP. That you log in, you're going to have your student, you're going to be able to see that data right up front. Then you're going to be able to do your service logs right there. Those service logs are then going to run progress reports for you. They're going to write present level statements for you, because in the age of AI, you don't need to be doing your own data analysis, especially if that's not your strong suit. If it is, go ahead, do that, do what you love. But I wanted to give people a tool that if that wasn't their strong suit, if like keeping track of paperwork is not their strong suit, or writing the data analysis, or writing up reports, if those aren't your strengths, but your strengths are teaching, relating to the students, and getting in front of the students, like I want to give you that time back to be able to do those things. And then on the other side is like, we need to run these compliance reports. We need to be able to make sure that each campus is getting the resources they're needing. Because what I saw was a lot of heroes. I saw a lot of teachers staying late, coming in early, doing all of this stuff just so that at the district level, it looked like everything was fine. But what they're not seeing is how many hours the teachers are putting in. And what was really shocking to me is when I created this app and I went to my district admin and I said, hey, here's the amount of hours I'm spending per day. When I used this app for one day, this is how many hours I saved. They were shocked. And it was shocking to me that they didn't know all the work that I was doing on a daily basis. I just assumed that they did. They just knew what I was going through, but no, they don't, because they're kind of, you know, removed from the situation. And so all that to say, there's a lot of different pieces of the app, but the main components are really that compliance screen where you can see, hey, am I in compliance? Like as a teacher, can I check myself? Am I in compliance and are my students growing? Those are the two things you should take away. And then once you get into the student profile, being able to do track documents, track service logs, and have those reports speak to each other for the first time in the IEP history, that is like what I set out to create. And it's been extremely helpful with the teachers. And I'm excited that other people are actually benefiting from it. Because I created something because I was struggling. I didn't know how many people were struggling until I really got into it and started talking to more teachers. And everyone that I've talked to has just been like, I'll take anything. Like, please give me any sort of support.
I think the most important thing would you really highlight was compliance. Mm-hmm. And I know like when we think about these students, whether they're, you know, have a reading deficit, a math deficit, they're OHI, they have social and emotional things. As a special education teacher, you know, we're giving them support, whether it's 30 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, we're giving that support, whether it's in the gen ed classroom, whether it's in a reading intervention, math intervention, a behavior intervention time where we're pulling them out for some counseling, working through some feelings and thoughts. But mm-hmm. it's really difficult sometimes to make sure, hey, yeah, I met with Johnny. I'm meeting with him one time in a week for an hour. I see him in his reading class. Like we say those things, but sometimes like documenting that can be tough. And I know like when you showed me in the program, like we're picking our kids and I know we can group those and there's a lot of flexibility with the program. But to say like, hey, I went to Johnny's classroom in ELA, reading, whatever grade level, you know, comp one, whatever it may be. And I was there with him for an hour today, an hour tomorrow. And so then we can go back and we've got that data that really shows us, hey, that teacher is supporting that student. We're in the classroom. We're doing those things. just to kind of keep those checks and balances that make sure we're really providing for them.
That's the other piece too, is there's so many times that I've had parents like not trying to be combative or anything, but they're just saying like, hey, my kid says they never see you. Well, there's a couple things going on there. The memory of a middle schooler is otherworldly. They have
it's like a goldfish.
It's very confusing to me how they could be so young, but their memory be so poor. And so there's that. And so I like to be able to check and say, hey, no, I actually did meet with them. But then the other piece of it is when you keep it all in one space, you can have that data analysis right at your fingertips to say, hey, we met Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We worked on personal narratives. And yet on Friday, you still were struggling with the sentence structure. Let's work on that again next week. Or, hey, we worked on it for 3 days and by Friday, you got it. Those are two pieces of data that I need to know so that I can better help my students. And really, my love for the data analysis piece came when I was teaching Gen Ed. So I was teaching a group of students that were just really struggling writing essays. And the thought was, hey, this group probably is not going to pass. Like, that's what I was hearing from admin and other teachers. Like, hey, let's not focus on them. Let's focus on like the kids who are really close to passing. Well, that kind of irritated me. I wanted to focus on all my students, but you can't focus on 120 students all at once. You have to use the data to see, hey, who do I need to focus on? What do I need to focus on? Down to the TEAK. And so that's Texas for like what the state standard is like in Texas, but really it's for anything. Like, you need to know exactly what is that missing piece for that student. And yeah, I think the data piece of it was just so critical to my success as a teacher that I wanted to make sure that that was like a central focus in what we were creating at IEP Assure.
Yeah. And so you got the compliance part. Now going into the data part, you know, it's, I felt like when I was in the classroom, but once we were a Google district, you know, I'm going to create my Google form. I'm going to have the kid's name in there. I'm going to put his goals in there. And then most of the goals, you know, you're looking at percentages or you're looking at certain things. But in those forms, like, you're just putting most of the time you're trying to make it quick and easy, where mm-hmm. it's a yes or no, or you're putting a couple notes and then you're moving on. But I feel like sometimes we miss those artifacts. Sometimes mm-hmm. we miss the really important data that we can put with it. And so while we're in there and we're documenting, hey, I'm in here with this time. I love that you showed me there was a writing sample of a student and you uploaded it to the program. Mm-hmm. So now I can go back and I can look at that data later. Instead of mm-hmm. like, I've got a pile of things on my desk. Now you're keeping that resource in your program and it allows you to go back and review it again. I think that's just phenomenal to be able to continue to do those. Mm-hmm. Now I know even like we're not just uploading the data. We're not just keeping track of it, but we're also, because I know I don't know how we call it in Texas, but I know like Tennessee, we're creating our present levels of performance.
Yes.
And you were putting, you know, what they can do, what they struggle with, all those things. But really IEP Assurance really mainly deals with like the goals and then the compliance of hours, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it will, so the thing that I love about the thing I created was that, like you said, you go into a classroom, you're working with a student. You take a picture of that work sample. Typically, what I would do is I would collect work samples and then I would never see it again. I'd put it in a box somewhere because I don't have time to file. I don't have time to go back to it, right? But I do need to have work samples if it comes up. And so what this does, you take a picture, you say, hey, I was in there for an hour, snap a picture. This is what we worked on. The system then sees, oh, you have been working on a reading goal for 1 hour. Here's the work sample of this reading goal. Now the system can then analyze it later when you go to do your progress reports. So this is what I'm talking about with the service logs talking to progress reports. And the progress reports, they're talking to your present level statements. And that is what the IEP, when it was created, that is what the IEP was supposed to be doing. It was supposed to be creating a holistic picture of a student who struggled with XYZ, but it doesn't. They're pieces of documents that don't speak to each other. That's different now with IEP Assure.
It's more of a living document because like yes. our PLEPs go together with our goals go together with our accommodations, it goes together with our service hours. And so it all needs to really be compliant together. It's not mm-hmm. separate things.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the beginning, I think that was the purpose. Like, I think that they were trying to create a holistic picture of a student, but somewhere along the lines, it just becomes documents that teachers are required to do on top of everything else that they're trying to do. And that's where I've tried to change it. I've tried to change the narrative of documentation, that it is no longer just a thing you have to do. It's something that is benefiting you, and to make it so easy that teachers want to do it. Like, if I knew that I could go into a classroom, just snap a quick picture, and I'm done, it takes 5 minutes to do all my data for my students. Like, that is perfect. Because now when I need to go work on something with a student, not only am I going to see what are they struggling with, but it is really rewarding as a teacher to be able to see the trends of the growth.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to work with a student for 6 months and then see, like, they're still failing a test. Like, that's not what you want to see. What you want to see is that a student who may still be failing a test started failing with a 12%, but now they're at a 55. Like, that's a big difference. And so to be able to see that in front of you, that will keep you energized, keep you going when everything else in education seems to just be weighing you down.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think, you know, again, like, it's just, it all should flow together. And I love that inside the program, like, we're uploading our goals, right? So we've got our goals, and then the program is designed to learn how we write goals. And I know we talked about, like, each state is different. Each county is going to be different. School district, how we really write those goals. But, you know, I love that we're uploading those. We're collecting our data as we go through it. Because even, like, you know, I can think about my time, like, when I'm creating my present levels of performance, I'm creating my goal. I might have some artifacts. I may have my Google form I'm looking at. I got some checklists that I'm working at. And most of those are yes or no's. And it's not real hard data sometimes, or we're trying to recall from our memory. Listen, Billy the other day when he wrote, he forgot to capitalize everything. Like, no, we don't have the data for that. But if we're taking pictures, we're adding those notes as we, you know, we're changing classes. Hey, real quick, I'm adding these notes today for this. Now you're able to go back and remember those things. And then not just me as a special education teacher creating this goal using my own words, but you've, of course, in this age of AI, you've got some AI in there that's going to kind of help analyze that data for us. And then kind of create a goal, which I love. And I know we also talked about, even though AI creates it for us, as a human, I still need to have that human intuition of, like, I don't like how this is stated. I don't think this is really, really we need to work on, because I know the student, because now I'm looking at the data. So kind of give us a little spill about that and how that kind of morphs with the AI, the goals, the creation, and then how's that help us further down the line?
Yeah. So something I really like about AI is that it can be a thought partner if used correctly. Like, it's not just going to take your mind and, like, you don't work anymore. Like, I have seen a lot of the reports coming out lately that say, like, oh, this is what your mind looks like if you use AI. This is what it looks like if you don't use AI, you know? But part of those studies also say that if you're using AI as a thought partner, your brain actually becomes more engaged. You push yourself further than what you thought you could do. There was another story. My uncle sent it to me. He said it's, like, a real research study. I don't know because I didn't see it. But you know how some people pull from Facebook as research? Anyway, so I'm going to tell you this story, but you tell me if that's not real. Anyway, so there was a study done with rats to say, like, okay, if I put rats in water, how long will they tread water to survive? Well, when a rat thought that they could never get out of the water, they only treaded water for 4 minutes before they gave up. If a rat saw that there was some sort of way out of the water, they were able to tread water up to 6 hours. And so it's all about the mindset. And so I say all that to say that AI has shifted my mindset. And I'm not one of those people that's, like, truly in love with AI, but I do love the idea of a thought partner that's going to help you build on the knowledge you already have. So I will say that. And I will say that when we talk about goal creations or progress report narratives or present level statements being written by AI, that can be scary to someone who's done it for, like, a ton of years. They've done it for 15 years. Do I really want a system writing for me? Well, you have to think of it as let's say I have a caseload of 35, which was my true number of how many students were on my caseload when I developed this app. I have a caseload of 35. There is no way that on top of teaching 6 classes a day, doing my itinerant minutes, and being with my students, that I'm going to accurately be able to represent 35 students on paper. But what can is a system who's been properly trained to do that. using the data that you're inputting, the documentation that you're inputting, you can see that. And so what you've talked about is like, it's going to generate something. And if you see it and you're like, hey, that's not what I think of my students, that's where the knowledge that the teacher adds to the present levels, the goals, the accommodations, like that's where you can add. But if you don't have that base, that thought partner, you're starting from scratch and it just takes so long to get to that point where your students are then able to see the success. So like, let's skip steps 1 through 7. Let's start in at 3. Or I mean, let's start in at step 8 of 10 instead of step 1, right? Like, let's just get closer to the end. So that was the thought behind it. That's the purpose, I guess.
Yeah. And most of the time, you know, like we go to school to be a teacher. We're trained. We know how to look for things. We're learning how to teach. But we've got that foundation of how to create a lesson plan, how to do all these things. We have a foundation of how to write a goal, how to write a present levels performance, how to do those things. And really, I feel like the AI is kind of taking all those things. And now we can, as a human, hey, this is really good. This is some good data. But then I could take it and I can either, you know, let it just copy and paste it or let it go into that. But then also, we talked previously that I can copy that and I can edit here and I can edit that.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just a good thought partner to where like, I like how they said this, but I'm going to write I like to write my progress reports this way. And so it just, regardless if we use the AI or not, the data that it's going to give you and for it to be able, and this is scary too, that it's learning how we do things and the data is just going to get better. It's just going to continue to grow. And I really love that part of it. Again, like Allie, I wish you would have created this like 5 years ago when I was in the classroom. It would have been an awesome, awesome tool to use that because now, you know, we've talked about, you know, uploading your goals, you're using you're uploading those artifacts, you're making notes between classes, you're not having to do that after hours, things that you're never going to remember in 4 or 5 hours after class.
Right.
And then it's continuing to help you build that goal, help you continue to build that present levels of performance. But then also, you know, now we're making better decisions when we sit down. Yes, I wrote the IEP and I'm meeting down with a team, but now we can sit down and say, here's the hard facts of the data. Mm-hmm. Here's what we've evaluated. Here's what we can see from it. And I think that really makes those IEP team decisions not just, you know, I hate to say this, but sometimes they're just one-sided. You've got parents that listen to it. All right, that sounds great. Let's do it. But now you're able to, with this, is show the data and have those good conversations to where if you show the data and a parent looks at it, it's like, hey, listen, I think they can do this. Can we rechange that to this? And can we look at this data? I think that just really pulls everybody in to be one thought partner versus, all right, that's cool. I'll sign it. We move on. I really love a lot of the things that were going on here.
Yeah. The thing that I want to touch on that you've said is like when a parent gets involved, a parent will know their kid better than you do. They will know their personality, right? But then a teacher is going to know them academically. And you do need both parts. You can't just have like oh, that's good. Let me sign it. You need someone to say, hey, they're fooling you. That kid is lying to you. You need someone to tell you that because otherwise it's not going to work. Like one example I have is in using this app, I was able to track the data. I was able to have like written reports for the parents that are more digestible. It's not using like lingo that only an ARD committee member will know, right? So the parent was able to see like, oh, I see my students progressing, but I also see that in writing, they're doing pretty poor. I'm curious, why is that? They've always loved to write. And I'm like, well, actually in my class, when I'm going in to support the student or I'm working with the student, they're not putting anything down on paper or they're struggling to write more than 3 sentences. And the mom looks at the kid in the meeting and was like, wait, you're struggling because you've never struggled to write notes. You pass notes all the time. You never struggle to do this, this, and this. And having that parent tag in and say like, no, that's not my kid. The kid is then able to change. They know that we're working together. They're corrected on both sides. And it's no longer like a smoke and mirrors type thing. It's not like you are just creating one version of a student and then they're a different student at home. Now you're looking at the student as a whole. And I think these conversations are so powerful to not only help make a plan for the student, but let the student know you care about the decisions you're making. You care about where you're going in the future. And these students that are in a SPED resource classroom or a gen ed class with SPED supports, or even if they're in a life skills type classroom, they have a better outlook on where can they be going in life. when you use that data to speak to you, it can speak volumes for the student's future. You can say, hey, I can see where we're going and let's get there. Like using the data as a map rather than just going in blindly and hoping for the best, or making a lot of personal narratives about student success that say like, we feel this, like you don't feel anything, sweetie. You either know it or you don't. Like, we need to know what's going on. And that's why I just love that. Yes, you can make better decisions when you have better data.
Yeah. And I think data is so key because, you know, I told you like sometimes we have checklists, we're doing all those things, but that's just like points on a graph. Like how do you really explain that to a parent? How does that really translate to what they're doing in real life? Mm-hmm. And so you need those hard facts. You need those hard data points where I can pull it up. Hey, listen, here's a writing sample. Here's my notes that I took this day when we took this writing assignment or we did this activity. Now it's not just a yes or no. And I really love that part of it. Man, I feel like I'm selling this for people, but listen.
Yeah. I'm joining the team.
Listen, I'm telling you.
I hate the sales, so we need you.
Let's go. Listen, but I mean, it really is like, it's a great program. The more I've had time to digest those things, it's just been phenomenal.
Now, I want to touch on one thing you said, because talking about those work samples too, like being able to click into a work sample and show the parent exactly what it looks like it's one thing to say, hey, when I'm in class, they struggle to write more than three sentences. But it's another thing to click on an image and show them, hey, this is the work sample from last Tuesday that your kid submitted. Like that is also a key piece to show them, hey, this is what's going on. And also to put that mirror back in front of the students and say, hey, this is how you're performing. This is the work sample you submitted. Do you think you could do better? Yes or no? And then, yes, I do think I can do better. Or if they say, no, I don't think I can do better. Hey, now we figured out what's your issue. Your issue isn't that you can't. It's that you're believing that you cannot. And we need to fix that. You can't do anything until you believe that you can. So we need to start at ground zero. Let's make you believe that you can do it. Now let's keep working. But all that comes from like having that mirror in front of you and being able to pull that up and see it.
Yeah, I think that's key because, you know, a lot of times with worksheets or things that students are doing, like we want them to take them home or we file them and they don't put their name on it. So now we don't know whose is whose, or I've cleaned my desk and, oh, this is from 6 years ago, but it was really yesterday.
Yeah.
It's just keeping that hard data, especially with all the technology we have here and having to be able to save things, whether it's in our Google Drive, Microsoft, or whatever you're using, just to keep that data. I think it's phenomenal. It continues to carry on from semester to semester, progress to progress report, and just to continuing to build on that and continuing to grow.
And now, districts that use it, they can even use it year to year. So a student now goes from fifth grade to sixth grade, where there typically is a gap from an elementary to middle school. Well, now that student profile still lives in there. And so if an elementary and a middle school are both signed on, they can communicate with each other and see your actual work samples from fifth grade.
Well, that's money because a lot of times, you know, like I taught sixth grade for a couple of years and I'd have these fifth grade teachers come up and they're, all right, Sally does this, or you look at their IEP, but I really don't know the kids. So now you've got to really develop that. But if
you ever have an IEP in August when you've been in school for 2 weeks, that sucks. So being able to have that information, you need it to be able to have a proper meeting for a student.
Yeah. That's a killer feature. I love that you're keeping that data. Now, in on the data, I know we talked briefly about this before the call, but that data stays inside. You're not farming that out. It stays within IEP assurance. Nothing else is getting that. So you really got a lot of privacy rights. I mean, I know in this day and age, that's really important to have.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead, because the other online systems that you might use, like Gemini, ChatGPT, or even the Microsoft Copilot, all of those things are outsourcing whatever input you're putting into it. It's now going across multiple platforms, right? IEP Assure keeps it within that one so that the AI that's built within the app stays in the app. Any data you put in stays in the app. We're not outsourcing to the general public. Making sure that we're keeping that student data and student privacy private, that's key and something we focused on from the very start.
I love it. That's a great feature. Now, listen, we're going to take a little step away from IEP assurance for a second. So part of the show that we have here, Allie, we have this Tech Flush tip of the day. Now, for this Tech Flush tip of the day, this can be something that you used in the classroom. And I know we didn't talk about this. I didn't put this in the script. This is my favorite part of the show. So whether it's a tool, a tip, whether it's special education related or not, but what is a good tip that you would like to share with the listeners out there that would help a teacher in today's age?
Yes, a good tip, and I know I've been talking about data to no end, but it's because I truly do love it, is that if you're going to use an app, whatever app you have, it needs to be able to tell you something about your students. iExcel is a great one, for example. You can do work with your students and then you can pull an extract of how your students are doing. That is key. Doing things like No Red Ink, that's another virtual platform that can help teachers really assess how their students are doing in writing. Those sort of tools that not only help your student with the lessons, but then give teachers additional information about the students, those I feel like are key. I'm trying to think of other tools that are just great. Kami is a great one because it takes whatever work you're already doing and puts it into a virtual platform for those students. Or there's another tool out there that is new to the market. It's called NDAI. And so it's INDE-AI. And I just connected with their founder recently. And what their app does is they take all the accommodations that are listed in an app like mine and they apply it to Canvas directly. So now a teacher has a classroom of, let's say, 35 students. 20 of them have IEPs with different accommodations they've uploaded to Canvas. If you have the additional like piece on Google Chrome or whatever it is to support the NDAI, you're able to have all of your work accommodated for your students at like a click of a button. Wow. It saves you so much time. So that's a new one that if your listeners are like, hey, I want to hear of a new tool, INDE-AI.
That's the one. I'm going to have to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, you know, even with all, I think those are great tips, and especially when you talk about just the data that we can get. I feel like, you know, before, like, you know, if you're doing certain programs, like you're just seeing bullet points, you're seeing above grade level, on grade level, but that's really not a whole lot of data that really you can use to help support individual students. And now with this world of AI, you know, now we're pulling individual students. We can see what standard. I know there's programs out there that, you know, you do an assessment and say, hey, they need to work on this standard. They're really struggling on this standard, that standard. And it's no more like, hey, let me look through my state standards and kind of judge as a teacher and use my judgment. Now I can be using something else as a thought partner to continue to help with that data.
Yeah, that one's key too. And even if you do, like if you're like very limited on the AI tools that you use, even using things like ChatGPT, I used to put not my student names because I don't want to just put my student information out there, right? So I do preface that. But I would put their reading levels and I would say, hey, of the 20 students in my class, here's each person's reading level. Can you make me a seating chart using scientific research and scientific teaching best practices that would support their growth? And so the chat was able to create a seating chart maximizing their reading capabilities. So now I've saved hours where I would typically try to think, hey, what would be the best seating for them? Now, not only do I have a seating chart, now it's maximized the flow. I said, hey, I'm actually at the front of my classroom. What is the best seating for a flow where I'm walking up and down the aisles working with my students one-on-one? It sets up a flow for that. When I tell you that my students truly were growing 2 to 3 grade levels a year, and that was the only change I made to my teaching that first year, was adding in the seating assignments from ChatGPT. Yeah. Or you can even put in there and say, hey, this is what we're reading. Here's the reading levels in my classrooms. Can you make a PDF version of this that is at a 5th grade reading level, a 4th grade, and you give it to the different groups? Like changing up your teaching for your students is so much easier now when you have different tools out there.
Yeah, and especially when you're basing it off data. Because when you think about seating charts, my mind instantly went back to 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, whatever grade I taught the year. And I said, all right, how are we going to partner these kids? Well, this kid works well with this kid, or this kid, I think they're going to relate to each other. Or like you're making those human interactions instead of not basing things off the data. And so when you throw that data in there, whether it's your reading levels, whether it's grades, whether it's how they do on iExcel, iReady, like their goals, like when you throw that in there and let something analyze it, you know, the things that you're going to get out are just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, AI is going to change, just continue to be a thought partner. It's going to change how we really look at students, and really that data part is so key. And I know that's really what IEP assurance is about. It's about looking at the data, being able to make great decisions, and not let me as a human that's maybe not strong in English, try to help support a kid with a goal in reading and writing when I can use a program that's really good at it that'll kind of help analyze, hey, they don't do this well, they do this great. And I would never have saw those things. And so again, like data is going to be key and it's really going to change how we teach. If we can really focus more on the standard of it and the data part, I think it's just going to be phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, I really cannot say enough about data because I had a year where I was truly teaching a reading class and a writing class, but I was not the writing teacher. So I would start my kids in my class. I would give them the reading lesson. I would run across the hall, teach them the writing lesson, get them started. Then I'd run back to do the independent practice with my kids because there was a teacher shortage. And so being able to have the data to, it kind of split me in two, but well, actually it multiplied me by two really, because I was able to be in two places at once, looking at two different classes and analyzing how am I going to best support each student in these two different subjects. That's when I started to be like, oh wait, I actually do love data. And even though it does take a bit of time to like get into it, once you figure out what you're looking at, figure out how to even use an Excel sheet, like from there, it's butter.
I believe it, man. I think we could talk all day, you know, and really that hits my, you know, a lot of these things that we're talking about really hits my heart as a special education teacher. I do miss being in the classroom. I do miss like working with those students. I don't miss the data. I don't miss like the paperwork and those things.
Yes.
But I think like, again, like I've said this before, if I had something like you're creating, I mean, I know we're still in the early stages of it and people are starting to hear about it. Hopefully mm-hmm. this will help spread that for you.
Yeah.
But it's just phenomenal the things that it does for you. So as we start kind of wrapping up today, what are some big highlights that you want to kind of hit back on this, the IEP assurance and kind of give us some good pointers for that?
The big highlights I would say is that if you're struggling with the special education classroom, you don't need to be struggling. There are so many tools out there today that can support you, IEP Assure being one of them, but you don't need to be struggling. Anytime I hear of a teacher who's getting burnt out or ready to quit, first pause, evaluate what is the issue that you're having, and let's find a tool to support that. I hope that IEP Assure can be a tool like that for many people where they have, like, if they're struggling, that we have a solution for you. But again, there are many tools out there. So let's figure out what's working for you. So that's the big takeaway, I think, is like, you don't know what solutions you need until you know what's going wrong. So first, let's pause, breathe, and evaluate what is missing. If the gap on your campus is the documentation, or it's the workload, the amount of paperwork you're doing on a daily basis, or maybe it's just being disorganized with the files, the documenting, or maybe you're just not strong at data analysis. All those things, if that's your gap, IEP Assure is the bridge to getting you to where you need to go. If you're struggling with compliance, you want to know, hey, am I able to meet my deadlines? How can I meet my deadlines? You find that you're constantly falling behind on sending home progress reports or writing home to families. If those are your gaps, again, IEP Assure is there to support you. So I think it all starts with you understanding yourself and what you're struggling with. Taking a true look at yourself and like, in a non-judgmental way, saying, hey, what am I doing wrong or where can I improve? Without that information, you really don't have the data to improve or to move forward. So that's the big takeaway.
Yeah, I think those are awesome takeaways. I think whether you're looking at compliance, whether you're looking at data, whether you're looking at uploading artifacts, whether you need AI to help you look at the data, I think this program is phenomenal. And I know like after we post this, I know that for you guys that are listening to the recording of this, Allie's going to send me some information. We're going to post it on the website for you. That way you'll have her contact information. You'll have all those things so you can get in touch with her. And listen, if you're curious about it, reach out to her. She does some awesome demos. That way you can see it. Because I know like it's hard to talk about something and not share your screen and not give that in-depth data for it. And
I know,
there we go, data again
right now, but
we could listen. Maybe we'll have to do episode number two of this and we'll have to highlight that. But it's just phenomenal things. So make sure you reach out to Allie and do that. Now, Allie, how can people kind of stay? I know I'm going to post your contact information on the website. We'll put it on the Twitter and all those things when I post this. But really, can they follow on social media, on Facebook, Instagram? What are kind of those things that we can kind of follow you on?
Yeah, we have Instagram, IEP Assure. We have a big LinkedIn presence, IEP Assure. And then also, if you just email me, allie.wilson@iepassure.com, I'm happy to right back. On there, it'll have like my phone number, contact, calendar link, all the things. And so we also have our website, iepassure.com, that you can go to. But all of those things, I try to make it as easy as possible to get a hold of me.
Yeah, it's been so easy to, like, you know, starting from Facebook and emailing back and forth. Always Johnny on the spot with things. And so I really appreciate that. And really, listen, we've talked about so much today, lots to rehash, lots of, I think you guys are listening now, you're going to have to go back and listen to it again, because there's so many good gems in there, so much good information to consider with this program, just phenomenal. So definitely go check that out. So listen, Allie, I really appreciate you being on the show today. I hope the viewers start reaching out to you. And I wish you the best of luck with IEP Assurance.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
Awesome. Cool. Well, listen, guys, remember, I hope you've enjoyed episode number 72. Remember, you can follow me at Josh_Morris65 on Twitter. You can follow the Tech Flush on Twitter. We got Instagram. I'm slowly trying to put out some videos, do all that kind of fun stuff. Remember, we also have the website, which is bit.ly/TechFlush. From there, you can see all the episodes. Check that out. I got the website, all those things. And, you know, as always, you can listen to it on Apple, Spotify. And now hopefully, Ellie, we're going to have this on the YouTube. Everybody's going to see our faces. We're going to be popular.
We're going to be going famous, touring the world. Yes.
There we go.
Can't wait.
It's going to be awesome. But listen, for episode 72, I hope you enjoy this. And we will talk to you next time. See you later. Bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Tech Flush podcast. Stay tech savvy, keep those gadgets charged, and remember, teachers and technology go hand in hand, connecting students to a world of knowledge for an electrifying learning experience. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and spread the word about the Tech Flush to your friends. Catch all episodes on Apple Podcasts. See you next time on the Tech Flush.